Welcome to the People and Performance Podcast, offering tips and expert insights into the strategic capabilities, behaviors, and results needed to grow and sustain employee performance.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the People and Performance Podcast. I'm Chris Bjorling, co-host and president at Fidelo Inc. In this episode, Bill Banham and I talk with Jacqueline Kuhn, co-owner and executive vice president, strategic services at H Architect, and author of the new book, H Architect's Guide to HCM Technology, What You Should Know Before Your Next HCM Technology Purchase. Jacqueline is an HR professional with over 25 years of experience in strategic planning, systems management, project management, services delivery, and general human resources. Throughout Jacqueline's career, she has worked with organizations in all sectors, global and domestic, to create strategic plans around their human capital management systems, as well as leading selection and implementation projects for talent management, talent acquisition, and HRIS systems. Jacqueline enjoys working with organizations to impact their HCM strategies through the utilization of technology. Before you embark on your next HCM technology purchase, listen carefully to this episode for inspiration from Jacqueline around defining an HR service delivery model, creating an HCM technology strategy, defining the system evaluation and selection process, undertaking system implementation, and what to expect post-implementation. Among other topics, Jacqueline shares the three key levers for building success case for any HCM technology project, plus she offers her predictions for what to expect from HCM tech innovations in 2023. Enjoy this conversation Bill and I had with Jacqueline, and don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
Jacqueline, welcome to the People and Performance Podcast today. Chris and I are delighted to have you join us.
Oh, thank you, Bill and Chris, for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
So, Jacqueline, last year you published a book, HR Architect's Guide to HCM Technology. What inspired the book and what can folks expect to learn from reading it?
I've always wanted to write a book. That was sort of on my bucket list from a career perspective. And I became personally frustrated about all the information about HCM tech coming from vendors. And I wanted to publish a vendor agnostic perspective on it because I just wanted HR people to remember that buying HR technology is a business investment and it's a strategic. It's not for HR, it's for the business. To kind of have things to think about and kind of give them a broader picture than what they're getting from the vendors that are publishing their product-specific stuff.
Okay, thank you very much. And who should be the key stakeholders then, Jacqueline? Those folk who are involved in the research, the selection, and the implementation stages. And of course, as part of that, where does or should the HR department fit in?
Yeah, so the way I look at it and the way we kind of work is HR sets their service delivery model. You know, what services they're delivering, how are they going to deliver it, in-house, third-party technology, et cetera. So HR sets the delivery model. And then business users, the stakeholders, right, the constituents, weigh in on what they feel works best process-wise and what doesn't work and how to not interfere with their jobs of getting the work done and getting the business done. And then you add IT just to make sure that the tech is sound, that it fits the environment, that the vendor's approach to support and development meets the IT strategy. So it's really, in my viewpoint, kind of like a three team of HR, their business stakeholders, and IT. And they all need to be a part of it because if it's going to work, it has to work for everybody.
Excellent stuff. So let me ask you the question. What do you see as the biggest barriers to selecting and implementing a new human capital management technology system within most organizations today?
Yeah, so from a selection perspective, the thing that we see is really organizations not looking at how a system does what it does. cloud HR technology today, it works. It's not like it's buggy or it's broken. The difference between one vendor and another is how it works. And oftentimes organizations will come to us after buying technology one or more times, and it just isn't what they thought they bought. And that's because they didn't look at the how. How exactly does it take to do what it's going to do, and how would I work with it? And then on the implementation side, a lot of implementations that we see that goes wrong is all around cutting corners. So you bought a technology because it could do some really cool workflow or has AI in it that you wanted to leverage. But then in order to go live quickly and cheaply, you decide not to configure that. Well, of course you're going to be unhappy with your implementation because you didn't put in place things that were the reason for buying it. And then, of course, traditionally, project and change management and forgetting how important that is.
You've suggested that there are three key levers for building a business case for any HCM technology project. What are they?
Yeah, so they really revolve around productivity, risk, and cost. And so by that, what I mean is productivity is what are we going to gain in people time that we don't have to do today that we can reallocate to doing other things. And so it's really understanding what is it taking you to get your jobs done today that the technology can improve upon, either in efficiency or effectiveness. And then risk is really two-pronged. The risk of staying where you are, doing anything, and the risk of implementing. So you could have compliance risk in that you're on a vendor that's not supporting you in a country that you're in. You could have, you know, risk of implementation because your organization is now taken on a bunch of projects and may not be able to resource this one. And then cost, you know, what are you spending today versus what it's going to take you in spend to do this in the future. And so really, when you look at all three areas, you're really able to communicate to the C-suite, what are we getting by doing this technology? And the reason I also want to just emphasize the risk and why the risk part is in there, because HR doesn't always understand that the C-suite is always identifying risks and business risk. And if you can mitigate millions of dollars of business risk, I can guarantee that they're going to be willing to spend a couple hundred thousand to implement technology if you can mitigate millions of dollars in risk. So don't underestimate the value of having risk in your business case.
I love it. Very good. Yeah, that the return on investment, that opportunity, that risk is an unknown sometimes that people don't always value in the calculations of it. So great stuff. Thank you.
And we're going to be talking a little bit more about risk or fear of risk and a potential recession and a weird recession at that in just a moment. And to give us a little bit more time to talk about that, to focus on that, I'm going to challenge you, Jacqueline, to answer in 60 seconds or less for the next question. Okay. What new HCM technology related innovations are you seeing in the marketplace that HR leaders should be looking at right now and for the first half of 2023 in 60 seconds or less? Go.
Yeah, AI for recruiting and talent insights. Absolutely. If you're not using it, you need to. Embedding thinking based assessments. Assessing people for their next job, for their promotability based on how they think and if the way they think is right for the job. And then while not exactly an innovation, but it's definitely being adopted more broadly, the HR virtual assistant. I should not have to call a person. An HR virtual assistant should have enough information to handle, you know, 80% of the inquiries from employees.
Nicely done. I think you had several seconds to spare. Okay, so I challenged you there so that we could free up a bit more time to talk about this potential of a very strange never before seen, or at least in our lifetimes, type of recession. One which GDP might go down. It looks like it is, but jobs, there's still lots of jobs out there. So I guess it's a good time still, if you're an expert in ATM technology, recruitment technology, and similar. What have you seen regarding setting budgets for next year, and what tech are folks investing in?
Yeah, so 2022 budgets, for the most part, have been holding. So people who budgeted for this year, even as you move into the second half of the year, we do not see things being challenged or canceled. 2023, however, is a little different. We're actually seeing people want to evaluate if what they are on makes sense, and if they, you know, if they can build a business case to move off. But we are not seeing budgets and a desire for holistic replacement of HCMs out there. It's more, should we do it? Are we on the right stuff? What's it going to cost us? And if I had a crystal ball, I would basically say that what's going to happen in 2023 is it's going to be the year of the point solution. So I may not be materially changing out my HR holistically, but for my business need, maybe I'm buying something in talent. Maybe it's a data lake. Maybe it's learning management, right? It's a key piece of technology that we don't have today, that we can afford, that makes business sense. But yeah, I really think that holistically replacing your entire HCM, while there always will be some, I think the rapid purchasing we saw this year is definitely not going to happen next year.
Can you share one piece of advice or some direction you were given by a mentor, leader, or colleague that inspired you to perform a higher level in your career?
Yes, it was your mind, and what you believe you can do is your only limitation. And that has been sort of my mantra my entire professional career.
I love that. You are your own limitation. So stop thinking that way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. All right. And then the next question we have for you is, from a culture and people processes perspective, what does a high performing company mean to you?
Yeah, to me, a high performing company is an organization that would exceed its goals as to what it sets out to do. And it may not be about money. It might be about inclusion, social responsibility, engagement, whatever, but it's, you exceed what that goal was and what you wanted to be. That to me is high performing. And it's not, I want to emphasize, not solely about the money.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely appreciate that. So thank you very much for your perspective on that area. So now the question comes, I referenced your book just a little moment or two ago. How can we learn more about you and get a copy of your book?
Yeah, the book is on Amazon. So if you, on Amazon.com, H Architect's Guide to HCM Technology. And if you go to the H Architect website, harchitect.com, you can learn more about me and always find me on LinkedIn. I will always accept a connection from a practitioner. And if you're a salesperson listening and you have something I'm interested, I will accept yours too.
Well, that's very inclusive of you as well too. So that's awesome. So hopefully our listeners have the opportunity to connect with you and to learn more about your offerings and your thoughts around this and go to a deeper level, because HCMs are huge and we've just scratched the surface on this, and we appreciate your time today. Bill and I are both grateful that you were here and that you took a moment to share with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the People in Performance podcast. Follow us on social media and remember to subscribe.